The astute art collector and patron of the arts, Isabella Stewart Gardner, is famous for stipulating that her trove of masterpieces could not be significantly altered in her historic Boston home turned museum, the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. But parts of Gardner's collection have been on the move recently for a first-of-its-kind exhibition titled Off the Wall. The exhibit tells the origin story of the collection. WBUR's Andrea Shea took a look.
How's your angle there?
There it is.
Okay. Just barely off. Okay, then Danish. Very nice. Just come forward.
Art handlers gently lift an eye-popping 15th-century painting off the wall. It's Italian master Botticelli's The Tragedy of Lucretia.
Watching it get lifted up off the wall and then taken down is really one of the more nerve-wracking moments for me. And as a curator, I often have to avert my gaze.
Curator Christina Nielsen relaxes a bit as Botticelli's masterpiece is secured to a cart that will move it from its spot in Gardner's historic palace to a gallery in the museum's new contemporary wing. It will join 24 other works in the new off-the-wall exhibition, which allows highlights from Gardner's collection to remain in public view while the roof above their usual location is repaired.
We are not a museum that's used to moving the collection around very much, and you see they're putting the Botticelli into our passenger elevator, which is not, you know, really meant for art handling because the collection doesn't really move.
Gardner stated in her will that her collection and museum must remain as she left them, which has raised legal issues since her death in 1924.
In this case, bringing 25 works out of the palace and into the new building, we sought permission from the Attorney General and were given it because it's part of preserving her vision forever.
That vision is the focus of this new exhibition. Nielsen selected the 25 works to tell the story of how Gardner amassed her art collection. The curator says visitors always ask questions about how the socialite, philanthropist, and art patron managed to pull it off.
How much did it cost? How did she buy this? How did she get her money? These are valid questions and really interesting ones.
This new exhibition provides answers. There are rarely seen sales receipts, letters, and other materials from Gardner's extensive archive. Visitors can peruse photographs of and from Gardner's art dealers, fellow activists, and artists she championed, like John Singer Sargent. Show co-curator Casey Riley assembled the display.
There's Sarah Bernhardt, there's Ellen Terry, the Shakespearean actor. This is Nellie Melba, the operatic singer from Australia. She actually sang on the steps of the Dutch Room.
She collected exceptional people the way she collected exceptional works of art.
That's the Gardner Museum's new director, Peggy Fogelman.
She was the original social networker, and she surrounded herself with influencers. They all believed in her and in her mission to bring art to the American public.
For Gardner, Christina Nielsen says the transcendent power of art was what the young industrializing American needed.
You really begin to see the museum itself and the collection very differently as part of a really broad pursuit.
So how did the pursuit begin? Nielsen says it started in earnest at a Paris auction house in 1892.
The first really serious thing is the concert by Vermeer.
Gardner would have been up against families like the Fricks, the Morgans, and the Hearsts, Nielsen says. And unlike most other art buyers and collectors at the time, Gardner was a woman.
She has a man bid on her behalf. She sits in the back of the room and she's got a handkerchief over her face. Her main competitors were the National Gallery London and the Louvre that day. And they realized they were bidding against each other, so they did a sort of gentlemanly bowing out. Meanwhile, her agent swooped in and bought the picture, and suddenly Isabel Stewart Gardner was a well-known name in the art world overnight.
Tragically, Vermeer's The Concert is one of the 13 works stolen from the museum in 1990. A small reproduction takes its place in the exhibition. After the Vermeer, Gardner and her husband Jack continued to buy more Dutch art with money she inherited. Their next major score was a self-portrait by Rembrandt. But works from the Italian Renaissance became Mrs. Gardner's true passion. That's where the Botticelli comes in.
She wanted a Botticelli. I mean, what we know about her collecting was there there were a couple of different criteria that she had. One was that these masterpieces should be by the hand of a master. Well, Botticelli, you can tick that box.
Gardner also wanted works with an impressive ownership history and great visual impact. Botticelli's Tragedy of Lucretia had both. Plus, there were no other works by Botticelli yet in America. The man who found the painting for Gardner knew what she liked. Bernard Berenson, a Lithuanian Jewish immigrant who studied at Harvard, was an influential art historian and an art buyer for Gardner. Curator Nathaniel Silver reads a letter Berenson wrote to her in 1894.
How much do you want a Botticelli? Lord Ashburnham has a great one, one of the greatest, A Death of Lucretia. Although the noble lord is not keen on selling it, a handsome offer would not insult him. I should think it would have to be about £3,000.
Today, the Botticelli purchase would be about $440,000. The exhibition's gallery labels include the prices Gardner paid, which is generally not revealed in the museum world. The list of her major gets goes on, and each work has its own story to tell. They usually hang in the old building's ornate, dimly lit rooms, higher up on the walls. Now, in the contemporary gallery setting, Christina Nielsen says we can see them in a new light.
Being able to get close to them and being able to see them lit to their best advantage, it's like looking over the shoulders of the artists. So you will notice details on these paintings that you wouldn't have ever seen before, even if, like me, you pass by them every day.
In 1903, a few years after her husband's death, Gardner finally realized her dream of opening her palace museum. When she died about 20 years later, Gardner left her legacy in trust, quote, for the education and enjoyment of the public forever. For 90.9 WBUR and The Artery, I'm Andrea Shea.
The Off the Wall exhibition at the Gardner Museum runs through August 15th.